This hour of the Overdrive podcast is brought to you by Felix. Embarrassed to talk about erectile dysfunction in person? Felix can connect you to a doctor online to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.
No argument here.
Can't be.
Woo!
Cannot be an argument. What a performance for the Leafs last night. And this may be the beginning of a new era on the show as well, the Major League theme song, because Team Owl Dog with the pick this afternoon, the mystery pick will be available. The mystery box, Who Wants to Be Al's Brother, will be available. We'll see if the O-Dog decides to utilize that option. No guarantees. We'll find out a little bit later this afternoon.
Oh, well, let me guess, if I want to choose something else. Quite a decision on my hands, Hazy B.
Wow.
The suspense leading up to it, like maybe Al's Brother. Send me a text. Send me something to get your belief. Like, just, it's kind of like a game show where you got to just, it's like The Voice or something, where it's like, do something for me to hit the Al's Brother button. It'll be tough.
It could happen.
You can try.
Ah. Who's to say it won't happen?
Exactly. Honestly, I think Al's Brother may floor you. Maybe all that, you know, nonsense he talks about, he'll just, it'll all come together
for you. Hang on a second here. You two have been witnessing what's been going on. If it were you two, would you not be kind of leaning towards the mystery pick? Like, let's get serious here.
I'd be intrigued by the mystery pick. I got to be honest. I mean, it's something new.
But who knows
if there's a winner in there, right, Noodles? I mean, it
could
be a loser in that mystery box.
Right. I mean, I know if I needed NFL information, tremendous information, Al's Brother would not be in my top five. That's just me, personally, because I've got some... I mean, Hayes, I would turn to you. I would turn to the Grappler, Kara Waglin. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some people around me in my circle of friends. I would be like, you know, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? You rely on resources. I don't know how you guys got linked up. I think it came from the Olympics, the fate, all of that. Al's Brother's a star on this station. We can't sidestep that either.
Solo today, and Julia Teixeira not feeling well. I believe Julia will be back tomorrow. I was on with Al's Brother. I got bumped a little bit as well with Al's Brother.
What?
I got a taste of my own medicine today, and honestly, now I know what it's like. And
what
I had
happened?
No issue with it because I was sitting in the basement. I had a dentist appointment. I had a hygiene appointment earlier this morning, right? So I was going to go on with Al's Brother, and I was going back and forth with Steph, and originally it was – at 12:30, and then it became at 12:40 because I had the appointment that was going to go until 12:20. So I said, listen, if you give me a little bit more time, I can get home, I can get on the mic. Maybe that's a better idea as opposed to over the phone, and if it's close, you know, you never know what might happen. So, yeah, of course, go ahead. That works. Steph goes, yeah, lock it in, 12:40. I get downstairs. I log in. I'm waiting. All of a sudden, we're going a little bit long here. We're going to have to push you back to 12:45.
Come on.
No problem. All of a sudden, it's 12:48, and Al's Brother is sliding me in. I think I was on for about 4 minutes, and then he dusted me off and had some other bit in the tank. And I appreciate that because Al's Brother, he had things to say today, and he was talking about the Leafs. And listen, what a time to be talking about the Leafs. They have won 15 of their last 17. 8-3, they beat Colorado last night.
Yeah.
Colorado did not show up. Their big boys were really disappointing.
It was tough to show up when Jerry Johansson was between the pipes.
First of all, what did you call him before
he
the
He called
end of
him
the show
Johansson before... Johansson.
Johan no, Johansson or something. I don't know. I'd never heard of the guy.
Because I kind of like tried to slide it in there. I'm like, it's Jonas. Like, just it's not Jonas Siegel, but it's Jonas. And then you were like, yeah, Jonas. Or no, you called him Johan Johansson. Like, it's like, you know.
Jerry Johansson.
Yeah, he had a tough
it's
night.
A better
the
name,
Leafs
though.
Deserved. I mean, the Leafs deserved that.
Leafs
win.
Were
they
rocking
were
last night. Yeah, they came out hot. They got on the board quick. It's 3-0 before you can even flinch. And then when Gerard scores late, I'm like, okay, that may wake up Colorado. Let's see what you got. And before you know it, boom! Even Kadri comes out. I think it made it 3-2 pretty quick, and they end up finishing the second period 5-2, and the lights were out. It was over at that point. Everything else was irrelevant. The game was over.
Can I add that I thought Jack Campbell was fantastic when he needed to be? You give him an eight spot, but, like, I thought there was three or four in the second period where, like you said, it, you know, it was close. It was 3-1. You know, Kadri makes it 3-2. But, like, there was a couple play. I think it was the penalty kill. I think in succession it was, like, McKinnon, McCarr, and then Girard kind of in alone. And Campbell, like, just looked, I don't know, he looked brilliant. And
yeah,
again, you give him
so
an eight
good.
Spot, he, like, good on him and all that. Like, he could have been in a lawn chair in the third. But ultimately, it's, this is what good starting goalies do, is just, you know, it's, he's not a storyline last night because they put up eight, but it was just like maybe there was I just thought he was brilliant when he needed to be. I just mm-hmm. wanted to throw that in there because obviously it's a Matthew show and everyone else was, you know, the depth scoring and, you know, everything else showed up.
I had it, my predictions. You guys didn't want to buy in. Matthew's getting back in the Rocket Richard. Yeah.
Well, he's at 13 now in the season. Dreisaitl is still in the lead at 20. Ovechkin's up there. McDavid's up there. Chris Kreider's having a great year. Mangiapane. Kyle Connor's having a really good year. I'm comfortable in saying this. I think this is a lukewarm room temperature take. Between today and the end of the season, I don't think anyone scores more than Auston Matthews. I think he's back. He's feeling it. The wrist is okay. He's in shape. I believe he's the best goal scorer in the game, certainly the best 5-on-5 goal scorer in the game. I think the last two or three years would indicate that. And I think between today and the end of the season, no one scores more. The question is, does he outscore Dreisaitl by 7 the rest of the way? Does he outscore Ovi by 6 the rest of the way? I'm not sure about that.
Let's not get carried away, but it could happen. And he'll be right there. Let's just say he'll be right there.
Well, you pot 3, that's what you need, right? Like, you put yourself back in the race. I think he's got 11 in his last 15, gets 3 last night. You walk away this weekend, if he pots 3 or, you know, 2 or 3 in Minnesota / Winnipeg, all of a sudden you're waking up on Monday and you might be within 5 or 6 with 55 games to play. And if anyone's going to make up that difference, it's going to be Auston Matthews. And, you know, he had 3 last night. Tavares had a goal and 2 assists. John Tavares is top 10 in scoring in the league right now. He's got 25 points, I believe, in 24 games for him. And what does he have, 11 goals on the season? Like, John Tavares, like the rest of them, had a bit of a slow start, but he's got together. He's got it cooking now, you know, and the Leafs top to bottom. They're, you could argue they're a top 5 offensive team, top 5 defensive team. Their special teams are both in the top 10. Like, they're a well-oiled machine right now.
Right now they are, and I'm sick and tired of the people. Like, everybody's got choices in life, but if you're going to come up to me, and I'm actually getting sick of it, I usually like to stop and chat, blah, 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 how about those Leafs, and it's a 5-minute discussion or whatever it is. But if you're going to come up and just say, show me in the playoffs, and you want to be miserable and live your life like that, go ahead. But as for right now, it's fun to watch. Just enjoy it. We're not talking about playoffs right now. We're just talking about a team that's one of the best teams in the league right now. And if you want to go ahead and enjoy that, go ahead. Oh, there's Joe from the bridge. Look at that. NHL standings.
Points
Maple
percentage
Leafs.
Fifth.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Good job, Joe from the bridge. Percentage.
Yeah.
Top 5-10 team in the league. There you go. Enjoy it.
But you're right. Enjoy it. Like, you can't go, hey, 5 months from now, show. Like, we have no idea what the hell life looks like 5 months from now. You're right. And I get the same comments to people if you're out and about, and good stop and chats. I have no problem with that. But it's, I think it's that layer. And Hayes, you might be able to speak to this too. It's more like, all right, like, things are going so well. What is the, you know, is there a shoe to drop? Or there, listen, they've played fantastic. And we're having Sheldon on today. I want to ask him something about just some adjustments. I saw something last night that I thought was really indicative of a team that plays really well defensively. And, you know, Colorado gets moving and their D are really active, and the Leafs didn't get stretched out. It's something, maybe a coaching tactic, but I thought they looked really organized. And, you always use that word, organized. That's the key here, I think, too. You get the talent and you get everyone playing together, but an organized group that really looked really sharp, and you know, good on them.
Especially with the built-in excuses of coming off the road
trip, and
McKinnon's,
you know, back,
Kadri's on fire. Kadri had 2 yeah. last night. Credit to Nazem Kadri, man. He keeps rolling. But that was as impressive of a win as you're going to find all year. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I listen, the cynicism, we can't keep bringing it up because it's there. It's going to continue to be there. And these are lifelong Leaf fans. that are cynics and that have been scarred, and we've established why that is, and I understand why it is. And yet, you know, we posted a poll question, which is hypothetical, which is more likely to happen, not a lock, not definitely, has nothing to do with the playoffs. This is simply about the regular season.
Is this the one you conjured up last night?
Well, I was thinking about it last night. And then I'm like, I
saw it, that the Grappler posted it.
I don't need this on my timeline. You know, the Grappler can throw it out there because I know what's coming. Because I know how people are going to attach to it. And which is more likely to happen to the Leafs this season? Matthews comes back and wins the Rocket. The Leafs win the President's Trophy. Campbell wins the Vezina. Right now, I don't know. I don't think any of them are favored, but they're all in the running. If Matthews came back and won the Rocket, it wouldn't be a shock. The Leafs, we just saw the board from Joe from the Bridge. They're fifth overall in points percentage. That puts you in the running through 24 games. Jack Campbell's been outstanding. You know, has he been better than Shesterkin? Has he been better than – maybe not, but he's in the running, right? He just finished second
in the NHL
for Stars of the Month last month. So typically hypothetical, and immediately people are like, D, Leafs lose in the first round. D, they choke. It's like, go ahead. I can't help you there. You know, I don't know what to tell you what's going to happen in April and May. And if you're jaded and you don't want to enjoy the ride, that's fine. But I do think what has become clear here is when Shanahan and Dubas came out quickly after the season ended, quickly after one of the biggest disappointments in franchise history, being up 3-1 in Montreal, and then you lose in seven the way that they did, where it was a choke job and they just fell asleep and see you later. They said, we're going to try to punch another ticket and go back to the well. And watching them perform the way they're performing, this would explain what they expected during the regular season and what they think this team is capable of. Does it mean anything come the playoffs? No, not until they prove otherwise. Like, not until they prove otherwise. And I'm not sitting here today saying they're going on a run. I will not believe it until I see it. I'm not going back down that road again. But they came out quickly. They said, we believe in the four forwards, the four defensemen, Jack Campbell. We're going to supplement that with some depth and some different pieces, which is what they've done. Clearly, they saw a guy like Rasmus Sandin coming up and having an effect on this team, which he has, among others. Quickly signed Spezza. Quickly signed Wayne Simmonds. And at the time, you're like, man, they're really coming back with the same band. Like, what's the definition of insanity? And the reasoning was the three games were crushing. It was an awful way to end your season. It was deflating, and it just continued to enhance a really ugly reputation that time of the season. But they kept looking at the team through 56 games and games 1 through 4 in the playoffs, or games 1 through 5, and said, we're going to try it again because we think they're a really good team. Right. And watching them perform the way they're performing, winning 15 of 17 – this is what comes of that decision. So, you know, you can understand it now that you've seen it, where you're like, okay, that's why they didn't decide. Marner's got to go. Riley's going to go. We're going to ship this guy out, that guy out. Now, if it happens again and they choke out the playoffs, then I don't think they will have another choice. I'm not changing my tune on that. I'm not changing my mind on that. If these guys choke out again in the playoffs, there is something seriously wrong with the makeup of the team internally when it comes to the biggest games. But in terms of them just being a good team, a very good team, that's what they are. And that's what Dubas and Shanahan still believed they were even after the choke job against Montreal.
Yeah.
And now we're witnessing what they probably predicted would happen.
And it's even a bit of a flip around, Hazy, from the first 3 or 4 games of the year where I thought it was going to be, we possibly have a dumpster fire on our hands. Because that was ugly. To go from where they were, like, we were texting back and forth during that Carolina game, and we had somebody on recently that said that was a good game. They actually played good in Carolina. They were terrible. They got waxed by Carolina. Mm-hmm. Then they had their hands full in Chicago, and I'm like,
yeah.
What kind of year are we going to be looking at here? Like, are we going to be screaming and yelling here every day? So to go from where they were and turn it around in Chicago, I think that was kind of the turning point for them. And to be here right now, That's a good turnaround, man. It's impressive. It's fun to watch every night.
15 of 17 since that Carolina beatdown.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that is, we can ask Sheldon, what does he believe is the TSN turning point?
Mm-hmm.
Because there, from a coach's perspective, there might be something that he saw 3 games earlier. He was like, hey, we just needed to stick with that. you know, and eventually it clicked. Or right. It might be, you know what, we were in one in that night and this night, but it finally, you know, fell into place. Or like there's a lot of different
things.
Or
go buy some suits. We're not wearing street clothes anymore.
Honest to God, that might have,
I wouldn't be surprised if that might factored in a little bit.
Well, listen, attitude is a big thing, too. It might be like, hey, you know, just letting you know I'm still the coach, I'm still the manager, I'm still the president type of thing. I'm talking about Shanny and and Kyle and saying, all right, we're going to put our foot down on certain things. So either way, they've got the boat headed in the right direction. They've been fantastic.
Yeah, so we'll come back and catch up with Sheldon Keefe, and we'll ask him what the messaging was leaving Pittsburgh, leaving Carolina, what he saw maybe in that Chicago game that all of a sudden has triggered a run that this team has not been on in a long time. They've won 15
and not to get ahead of ourselves, Hazy, but maybe we'll ask if alumni get rings. We'll chat soon.
Yeah, look at you. No, that's not getting ahead of ourselves. Now we're talking about alumni and rings.
I was going to tweet it last night just for my friends across Canada. I wonder if alumni get rings.
People are freaking out. All right, we'll catch up with Sheldon Keefe. I don't know if we'll necessarily have time for that.
Yeah,
we'll get into a number of things with the head coach of the Maple Leafs. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Sheldon Keefe will join us here in a moment. It looks like Antonio Brown's former chef is getting the last laugh. Remember this report a few weeks ago when his chef told the paper down in Tampa that Antonio Brown had issued a fake vaccination card? Well, the league investigated, and it would appear the chef knows what's up because Antonio Brown has been suspended 3 games without pay for falsifying his vaccine status.
How would the chef get that info?
It's probably talking to him.
Yeah, like, Brown's probably popping off about it, I would guess. You know, probably bragging about it. And you got to wonder how many other guys in pro sports are doing it, you know.
And by the way, how do you do it? Like, is it like getting a fake ID? You got to go down some back alley and you give a guy $100 and away you go, or what? Do it yourself or what?
I guess. I mean, there's clearly a market for it out there somewhere.
No kidding.
You know, so Antonio Brown, he's going to have to chew on that one. And he's not alone. Mike Edwards is safety with the Bucks. They're also he's been suspended 3 games without pay as well. So we'll get into that more. Luke Wilson in just under an hour. Al's brother will have his pick, and then his teammate, his partner, foxhole guy, the O-Dog, will either take that information and stick with Al's brother or go with the mystery box and the mystery pick. And who wants to win Al's brother's money, job, the whole nine? So we'll get to that a little bit later this afternoon. Raptors in action again tonight as well. The Leafs laid a beating on Colorado last night, 8-3. They've won 15 of their last 17. Here's the head coach of the Maple Leafs, Sheldon Keefe. What's happening, Sheldon?
Not too much, guys. Just enjoying a nice day off here.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting the short end of the stick there. You got to talk to us three buffoons. How'd you get roped into this?
You know, I've been putting you guys off for a little bit here, so it's been nice to – nice to find a little bit of time here. I just put my boys are on the ice for a little skate, so I'm just hanging out in the parking lot. Here we go.
Beautiful. Are you guys outdoor? Do you ever take advantage of the outdoor rinks in the city? There's a million of them. Like, what happens when Sheldon Keefe shows up at an outdoor rink in the city?
Yeah, we don't do too much of the outdoor rink stuff. Both my guys are heavy at the minor hockey stuff here, so they spend enough time in the indoor sheets that they don't need to be getting taken out to the outdoor stuff.
What about just in general? Like, I know the stop and chats that we have to comply with. Like, is it you go somewhere, it's change the D, change the power play? Like, what's the going out process like? Is it crazy or you just kind of avoid it?
You know what? First, there are not a lot of positives these days with the wearing of the masks, but that's one.
Right.
People are a little less likely to first of all recognize you or come up to you. So you know, a little less of that. But generally speaking, we've been in the same organization here with the kids playing hockey and being out in the rinks ever since my Marley days. So people know me and have known me long before I was a Leaf coach and are very respectful. You know, sometimes we're getting games and tournaments and stuff playing against other teams that it's a little more of a novelty to them. But generally speaking, people are respectful.
Sheldon, we were talking before you came on about, you know, the team's maybe early struggles and then, you know, the Pittsburgh game, the Chicago game, and then all of a sudden the team's been on a heater. You know, we point to that maybe somewhere in there was a TSN turning point. Do you, as a coach, think there was a TSN turning point for your group where it all clicked and kind of it's running like a well-oiled machine now?
Well, you know what? I think there's a lot of things that go into it, of course. But, you know, we came out of that game in Carolina. And, you know, at the time, I think when the game finished, you know, we ended up losing 4-1 or something like that. But I just felt through that game that there were a number of things that we did well that we had been trying to get right for some time. And I thought we did that well. We didn't do it through 60 minutes. And at times it got away on us. And a good Carolina team made us pay for it. So I think, but there were good things there. I mean, when you're playing against a team like Carolina, you have to raise your level of play and your level of execution in order to compete. And I thought we did that. I mean, we got out of that game up 1-0 in the first period. You know, we were doing a lot of really good things. You could see it coming. But you could also see the standard of play that a team like Carolina was playing and really where we needed to get to if we were going to compete. So I just felt coming out of that game and, you know, it was the messaging that I gave to the team. It was the message that I gave in the media coming out of that, that, you know, we don't get the result we want here, but I really felt like we came out of that game with a better understanding of A, what we're capable of, and B, the standard that we need to really get to. And it's taken us some time to get there. Chicago game was not perfect, but we did find a way to grind out 2 points there, you know, getting back on the home ice after that, and we found a bit of a rhythm since then.
So were you consistently positive with your messaging? Was there a balance between positive and negative? How would you say your – how would you describe your approach the first 5-6 games of the season?
Yeah, I think, Brian, I think there was a balance for sure. I mean, you go through a point in time where you're very blunt, very direct about what you're seeing and what's not acceptable, what's not good enough. Then over time, you know, as the team's trying to find itself and trying to work its way through, I mean, you can only be that way for so long. And then ultimately you got to start finding positives and finding reasons to believe. And that's really what we did. And that was really the approach coming out of that Carolina game, you know, especially is, again, the results weren't what we wanted, but it was the first game where we had dozens and dozens and dozens of clips that we were sorting through to show our guys that we thought were really good and what we really wanted to look like as a team. And we just needed to stick with that for longer periods of time and have that be the standard. So I think you're just finding that balance. You know, like I said, it was very blunt at times, but you know, we thought we had more than enough reasons to believe and thought we were capable of great things as a group. And we found our way here. Now we just got to continue to ride the wave as long as we can and be prepared when things dip a bit.
With Sheldon Keefe, head coach of the Maple Leafs, the Leafs back on the road. They're in Minnesota Saturday at Winnipeg on Sunday. The Leafs have won 15 of 17, including an 8-3 win over Colorado last night. Well, it's an interesting comment you make because you guys are red hot. You're the hottest team in the NHL right now. So I have to believe the mojo in the room is palpable. I'm sure it's positive, fun, you know, practices, high energy, the whole nine. So how is your day-to-day approach? You know, are you balancing, again, positive, negative? Are you trying to find some negatives in the game tape? I mean, that's got to be difficult to relay that message when you guys are rolling in every day and not only winning games, you're laying some beatings on some pretty good teams here.
Yeah, you know, and like again, it's a balance. Just like when things aren't going well, and you got to find that balance with the group to, you know, make the corrections and adjustments that you need, but still make sure you're instilling belief in the group. It's no different here, you know, no different now when things are going really well is we got to point out the positive and the obvious things that we're doing really well and continue to reinforce that this is why we've been preaching this message. This is why we talk about the things we do because it leads to this success and this is what this looks like. But we just, you know, there's things within every game. Sometimes they're one-off things that you want to clean up and address so that they don't pop up again. And sometimes there's themes that are showing up in our game that we're continuing to work at and try to progress. And so there's no perfect teams in the NHL, and we're certainly not one. But we're going to continue to work to try to get there.
Can you speak about your goaltending? I think John Cooper has a quote where he's like, show me a great goalie and I'll show you a great coach. It's just, and I always have a saying where the goaltender can save you hours of watching video if he makes big stops. He's been a massive part of the success recently. Just touch on Jack Campbell.
You're exactly right. It's incredible, you know, how much better, you know, things become when you're coming out of games with wins versus losses, and how differently you can look at the clips and just how everybody feels when you come out with wins instead of losses. And in a lot of cases, goalies are the ultimate difference maker there. And, you know, like I was saying, we've played far from perfect hockey. We've played good hockey, but we've played far from perfect hockey, and our goaltending has been exceptional, which has made us look near perfect at times. And that's, you know, those guys are part of our team as well, and clearly huge parts of our team. But certainly, you know, they've done a really good job of instilling confidence in the group, and not confidence to the point that our guys feel like they can open up and consistently rely on them. Yeah, exactly. We've supported our goalies well. I think we've done a good job of reducing the quality of chances, and sometimes the volume's been a little bit higher than I'd like it to be, but we've done a good job supporting our goalies, but they haven't let in anything for quite some time where you're like, wow, they really need to have that for us. And that makes a world of difference, as you guys know. In fact, that's something I took away out of the game last night. You know, as much as we really liked our game, we did a ton of things. I just didn't feel that's an 8-3 game last night. You know, I feel like, you know, the goaltending was a significant factor in the game and maybe skews, you know, the way the game really was. Because I thought there's a lot of times there, you know, as we look at the goals late that Matthews and Engvall scored, those types of goals. Colorado had a number of looks like that as well with some really good shooters, and we just got stops on it. Yeah, so those are the kind of things can skew the score a bit, and that's why I try not to get too caught up in that. But no doubt that Jack Campbell in particular has been outstanding, and his stats are well-earned.
Yeah, his stats are off the charts, and I think when Kyle and Brendan brought in Peter Mrazek in the offseason, it appeared to us on the outside that the plan was to see somewhat of a tandem. Now that, you know, plans are always subject to change, and Mrazek gets injured, he's barely been available to you, and Jack Campbell has played number one minutes. I mean, he's on pace for 62, 65 starts. Mrazek appears to be on the horizon of a return here. Has your plan changed at all? Has your goaltending philosophy changed at all based on the way Jack Campbell has performed?
I think there's no doubt it's changed in the sense that Jack's just, you know, shown not just the results that he's gotten, you know, over a longer period of time here now, but more importantly, just how his body has dealt with it. So that's been a big factor here. He's been feeling good every day. I think that he and the medical team have found a real nice rhythm and daily process to maintain his body, and we've managed his workload and practices really well with our performance team and with Steve Briere and how we manage that, and that has helped. So I think it has changed without a doubt, but that's not to say that, you know, we need to get Peter Mrazek up and running here, and we think he can give us some really good starts and allow us to, you know, down the stretch here to manage Jack's workload better, you know, because he has played more than we'd like him to at this stage. But you know, if there's been a positive come out of it, it's not just his play and the results he's gotten, but, you know, he's built up a great sample, great workload here that he and his body have stood up to it very well. So that's positive for us for sure. But, you know, we don't want him to play quite this much down the stretch, and we need to get some extra support for that. But yeah, I'm just going to say, guys, sorry to catch you up, but I think a big part of that is, once again, the support that our team has shown. We've come in here, Joe Wall's given us some really good starts, and the team supported Joe and kept us rolling, and that's such an important thing too, and showing that we can move the lineup around a little bit.
Yeah, Sheldon, you were talking about support, and that's kind of where I was going to go is, you know, I thought Jack was great when he needed to be, but, you know, Colorado's a team that, especially with their active D, they were looking to kind of stretch you out in the offensive zone, and there was a couple times last night, and this is just systematic play, where you could see your group just relax and sag to the middle. The ice clogged the middle, and Colorado couldn't break through. Is that something you've been trying to develop night in and night out, is that consistency as far as protecting the house and basically forcing everything outside? Because I thought you did a fantastic job at critical times last night.
Well, it is always a major priority for us to protect our net. You know, we want to be strong in that area for sure and have numbers as frequent as we can. So it's always a major point of emphasis for us. But there were some adjustments that we made going into the Colorado game, you know, the one practice we had and some of our video sessions and just looking at where the strength of you know, their team comes. You referenced their defense and you look at some of the goals that they've been scoring here of late, and they get teams on the run pretty good. And I made a comment yesterday before the game that, you know, to my eye, they're as good as anybody in the league at creating backdoor tap-ins, just because they get you chasing them around and all five players are on the move. So we wanted to ensure that we handle that well and not get running around and exposing the dangerous areas around the net and having the confidence that Jack could stop the stuff from distance. So that's really, you know, what we tried to do. I thought the guys executed that well. It was a real positive for me in the game.
With Sheldon Keefe, head coach of the Maple Leafs, the left side up front has obviously been a topic of discussion from the offseason into camp. You've had some injuries. You've moved some pieces around. Recently, you've stuck with, you know, Bunting. You stuck with Kerfoot, specifically in the top two lines. Bunting had three assists last night. Do you think you're getting close to solidifying that? Or when McKayev returns, could it continue to be a work in progress? And could it be something that continues to shuffle around throughout the whole season?
Well, I've certainly been happy with how things have been rolling here right now. You know, whether it's Bunting that you talk about with Matthews and Marner, or the way that Kerfoot's performed with Tavares and Nylander. You know, things have solidified themselves there on the left side for sure. We're going to continue to look at that, and you know, when McKayev comes back, it's going to create some extra depth there for us on the left side. And you know, we've forgotten here because it's been a while, but Rudy McKayev had a really good camp for us in great preseason and was very much in that competition, competing for time on the left side there. So, we're excited for when that comes back. It's going to create some extra challenges in competition, healthy competition like I'm talking about. And it's going to be on the coaching staff and players to manage their way through that. But definitely happy with what we see right now. But it's a long season, and, you know, I'm sure we'll see some different looks at different times, you know, be it forced to do it through injuries or just myself might move things along just to make sure that we don't get stale and we don't get too locked into anything that allows us or prevents us from adjusting if we need to down the stretch.
How crazy is it? You just mentioned McKayev. I was down at the practice rink the other day. I had to talk to somebody down there. And I'm just watching and realizing that little Lions arena that I used to practice in, like a game day skate, it's such a production. There's like a couple guys on doing skills, and then they go off, and then a goalie goes on, and then a different coach is out there. It's like really, it's almost complicated, isn't it, Sheldon?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're talking about the practice because I think you mentioned a practice and a game.
Just like a normal practice day, it was like this guy was on with a goalie, and then another couple coaches were on, and then Haley was on. I was like, man, this is a well-oiled machine here.
Yeah, you know what? It is something that's really become quite complex and quite a bit to manage at different times. But I think it's so important. I think it comes from my time spent in the American League where you're consistently in the development mode and trying to maximize every day. We've got lots of resources in the Leafs organization, be it with the Marlies or the Leafs. And that's been something that I've really tried to work with our performance and development staff is to maximize the little amount of practice time we have. We have to maximize it. We're fortunate over at the Ford Performance Center to have multiple sheets of ice to work with. Usually two, if not three sheets of ice. So that we can keep things fresh and give guys space to work on their individual games. And then we've got an unbelievable development staff that we can, you know, give one-on-one attention or small group attention to players and not stress the coaching staff. And then at the same time, it's not always the same voices in their ear. You know, they can work with people that aren't in the fight with them every day and don't necessarily control their ice time, but they can just focus on making them better. So, yeah, we've got to manage that as best we can, and it can be a logistical challenge at times, but we've got a pretty good rhythm with it, and I've got lots of great support to help me.
Sheldon, we were joking last week about you guys being on the West Coast and maybe trying to find some motivation as far as, I know it's time change, it's a long schedule, and, you know, were there any thoughts of maybe trying to dangle a carrot and be like, hey, guys, we're not flying out here. If you win tonight, the plane stays here type of stuff. Is that the type of motivation that you need to have for some of these guys? Obviously, it's tongue-in-cheek, but the season is long, and you need to have a lot of fun, and you need to have something to look forward to in, you know, when you're in game 18 as opposed to game 82.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I think part of it is just keeping proper perspective here that with the long season, we got to let our guys be human at times. That's really important. And I think there's a lot to gain inside of that, too. I mean, you guys would know really well, you know, the camaraderie of the group, and that's part of the journey is to have those experiences. But, you know, in terms of dangling it or anything like that, that's not something we've ever really done necessarily, but we set up the schedule the way that it sets up, you know, whether it was, you know, we played that Sunday, I think it was a Sunday here now out in Long Island to start our trip. And then we spent that night in Long Island and then flew out to LA the next day. And you know, at the end of the trip, the way it was set up, we didn't give our guys any off days. We worked every day there. We were there with, you know, with practices and such just to stay focused and keep working on it. But the guys had time in the afternoons and evenings to, you know, get a nice dinner and enjoy the you know, sit on the patios and things. Of course, being mindful of the fact that COVID is still very much a thing and it's rearing its head across the league. So we got to be smart with that. But, you know, again, at the end of the trip, you know, after our game in Anaheim, we were staying in Anaheim and you know, the players had arranged to go to a spot together and be together and try to keep it as tight as possible. But you got to have fine ways for the guys to let loose and do their thing. And there's no better time to do it than after you've put in a great week of work.
Well, you mentioned the C word, COVID. How often this year, considering you're playing with fans, you're back in the States, do you have to remind yourself of the rules, regulations, protocols, and the fact that it's still lurking, where I'm sure last year was right in your face a lot more?
Yeah, it really has been a challenge because it is easy to let your guard down, far easier to let your guard down now for sure. You know, everybody's vaccinated and of course you feel a level of protection with that. Generally speaking, things are fairly free in terms of going out to restaurants and being about. So it's an extra challenge for sure, but there's been tons of reminders here coming. I mean, I don't know where we're at right now, but it certainly feels like there's been more cases already this season than there was all of last season, you know, save for maybe the big team outbreaks we had. But, you know, the number of players going on the COVID list and staff members, for that matter, seems extreme. And we have to recognize we're not immune to that. We have to be mindful of it and do our best to keep it out. But at the same time, know that it's been a long time here and everybody's vaccinated and we still got to give ourselves a little bit of freedom and have a little bit of mental reprieve at times and just try to stay as safe as possible.
Well, good luck with the skate. Good luck with the day off in Minnesota on Saturday, Winnipeg Sunday, 15 of 17 wins. You guys are feeling it right now. So continued success. We'll do it down the road again. Thank you, Sheldon.
Got it, guys. Thank you. You will. For now.
There's Sheldon Keefe, the head coach of the Maple Leafs. Yeah, listen, I'm sure there's pretty positive vibes in the room right now. Pretty fun jumping on the bird and jumping on the bus and hotels and, you know, getting back in the room after wins. You win 15 to 17, you're feeling it for sure. So we appreciate Sheldon coming on, and yet there's still, you know, business to be taken care of here the rest of the way. They've only played 24 games. I think he's aware of that, and I think their approach to the trip in Cali would suggest that. You know, practicing every day, still going to work. We're out here to play. You know, it's a business, and you got to. They got to keep, you know, a chip on their shoulder and prove who they are and what they're capable of.
Just keep plodding along, Hayes, yep. and damage control. When your time's up to go through a little bit of a dip, just damage control. Because it seems like this year, and I know it's every year, but it just because it's recency bias of this season, there's some extreme highs and lows with some teams. Like Philadelphia Flyers right now, I thought were a kind of a quality. They can't win a game right now.
No, they lost again last night.
They lost again last night. And I know Shesterkin was good and blah, 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 but it just try to avoid that real doozy where it's – because there are some doozies going on out there league-wide from teams that you would think would be like, okay. Like the comment in locker rooms, players would say it all the time, guys, good teams don't lose two in a row. Good teams don't lose three in a row. There's teams that are going on negative heaters of catastrophic proportions.
Yeah, coolers. Yep.
Absolute coolers.
Winnipeg lost to Arizona the other day. It's like that's when
they got Jersey in town tonight. You got to beat Jersey in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I mean Winnipeg.
Got to get that win.
Winnipeg outshot them 46-15 or something like that. Goal
Johansson was in.
It was Johansson in, but the other way. Did you see
middle
that?
Name? You got to say his middle name.
Jerry Johansson.
Jerry Johansson.
The agent out of Edmonton. Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, honestly, the one thing, and he brought it up a couple times, like, you have to be mindful. Like, you're going for dinner somewhere all of a sudden, and COVID gets into the room. Like, that's, you're shutting teams down. It's you know, you're seeing players that maybe are asymptomatic. Some are struggling coming out of it. Like, it is a scary thing. And
yeah,
knock on
here.
Wood for everyone, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, look at the Habs now. Brendan Gallagher and...
Sammy Niku, I think.
Yeah, it's out there for sure. He's right about the team shutdowns. It's happened with Ottawa. It's happened with the Islanders. Well, the Islanders came out of it quickly. Like, they were shut down for 3 days, and now it's like we're back and they're playing. I think they're playing tonight.
They are.
So thanks again to Sheldon Keefe. We'll recap that conversation later in the hour. Luke Wilson still to come. Steve Sands from Bahamas in the Hero Challenge.
Dude, Bahamas, it's where it's at. Forget about Florida. Forget about anywhere else. Shut it down. Retirement. Bahamas.
I love the word. I love Hero. Like the Hero Challenge.
You're such a hero.
It's so
Look
heroic.
Let's
Look
go to break because I got a comment on Tiger Woods and what he was saying yesterday.
Okay,
something I got to get off my chest.
We'll get into that as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Luke Wilson, our TSN football analyst in about 20 minutes. Steve Sands from the Golf Channel, our buddy Sands, he's down in the Bahamas. Pretty good setup for him. And the Hero Golf Challenge is officially underway. Arguably the best field in golf, really.
Dude, it's ridiculous.
The best players show up.
The Tiger Woods speaks to the media yesterday, and he's like, there's possibly a hit and giggle in my future, not sure, but that's about it. And then he proceeds to leave the media area and go to the driving range and start ripping three woods. So it's like, I don't know what this guy's message is trying to do. Because he knows damn well that everyone's going to have... There he is. Great job, Joe from the bridge. Just ripping three woods. So that's not like hit and giggle. Is he trying to play the media up where it's like, I'll never play golf again? Just to make it that much more dramatic when he shows up to Augusta National?
Yes. I have been saying this for the last week and a half. Apparently it's not registering. Two things. One, I think he's underselling with the plan of over-delivering.
Yep.
And this guy's a businessman. He knows business. He is not wasting an announcement.
So you think to add to the Nike hype commercial, it's one of his comments saying, probably never again, a hit and giggle.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's got his hat on backwards and his sunglasses walking to the
first
tee.
They've got a video
down Magnolia Lane.
That's what it is. They're going to have a video waiting or him, his face photoshopped on the Ultimate Warrior to come bombing down the runway. Like, that's what's going to happen. You know
it's got to be it, Hayes, because you don't go from saying that to wheeling out to the range and just absolutely busting out three woods.
Yeah, like he's striping three woods. I don't know if he's crushing them, but he's...
Dude, who cares?
His swing is very intact. That's the largest bucket of balls. There's 400 balls in that.
He could have easily gone to the chipping green and acted like an 8-year-old guy, like pitching runs with an 8-iron.
No, he's out there hitting balls, man. He's out there hitting. He's that's a legit three wood. He's swinging it. It's a sim two. I know exactly what the club is. He's dialed in. And he looks good. He looks jacked. He's got to build up. Who knows when that video he shot about him hitting the 8-iron was actually shot? That could have been 2 months ago. He shot that.
No kidding. No kidding.
because he's walking around clearly.
Oh, yeah.
He looks
hit
good.
And giggle. So he starts with a little 8-iron. That was 2 months ago. This guy's probably shooting 62 at his home course.
I wouldn't be
like,
surprised at all.
Absolutely crushing his driver.
And I saw someone try to – where everyone's trying to connect the dots on when he's coming back. I guess he is being inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame this year. Like, he's going into the Hall of Fame this year, which he should have been in there 15 years ago, really, when
no
you think
kidding.
About it. But it is the week of the players that he's going in. And people are starting to connect the dots that's maybe where he shows up is at TPC.
Wow.
And wouldn't that be perfect? That's a month before the Masters. Show up. He's won the players before. It's a huge tournament.
Flat.
It's in Florida. You know, show
right
up.
In his backyard. Yep.
Toot around. Put up some scores, and then next thing you know, we'll see
you
at Augusta.
Dude. You're not doing the hit and giggle. You're going to show up at Augusta and win by 15
well,
and be hitting drives that have never seen before.
Yeah, he looks good. That's a positive for sure. We'll see what Steve Sands can tell us about that. Sands, he's down ground level in the Bahamas.
We got to go, but I still want to know why he doesn't have a driver, like an actual car driver. Like, why is he even driving cars
anymore?
We
got
to get to that.
Adjusted
yeah.
at some point for sure.
Yeah.
So that and more coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
This hour of the Overdrive podcast was brought to you by Felix. Erectile dysfunction treatment online. Felix can connect you to a doctor to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.